Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Share. We are learning the Ilui Nishmasa and the Zecher Nishmasa, Miriam Freund, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Alaha Hashalom. May Hashem have a continuous aliyah in the schos of the Torah that we will share this evening. And of course, we continue to thank her family, the Freund family, very much for the dedication and commitment to the Torah that we share every Wednesday evening. So I wasn't planning to continue last week's topic. Last week's topic was on finding Hashem in nature. And I was not planning to continue this topic, but as Hashem arranged it, at the very last minute, we went to Brooklyn for Shabbos. And in Brooklyn for Shabbos last week, if you recall, we did a piece by Rav Salvechik based on the last pasuk of Haftarah Nachamu, Suma Rome Inechem, Urumi Bara Eila. We did a piece by Rav Salvechik. We quoted Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Tversky, and it's about finding Hashem in nature, okay? So I was not planning to continue this topic at all, but we went to Brooklyn at the last minute for Shabbos to my in-laws, and my father-in-law's first cousin with some of his family from Israel was there for Shabbos. He's a physicist. And at Shalosh Shulis, my father-in-law asked him to say a Dvar Torah. And he's a physicist at Technion in Israel. He lives in Petach Tikva. My father-in-law asked him to say a Dvar Torah, and he started to speak about finding Hashem in nature. So I thought, this is not random. I was just talking about this on Wednesday night. And here, scientifically and mathematically, he's talking about this. So I am continuing this topic because some of the things that he shared are absolutely incredible. He gave it over a little bit at Shalosh Shulis. I sat with him Motzei Shabbos with a pen and a paper, and we went over it more. So some of it is really, really mind-blowing, amazing. But as an introduction to this topic, by the way, Shani Girl is just stuck in. Shani emails me every week. Let's ask me every week, because apparently Mishpacha magazine is following our sheer topics. So there seems to be the past weeks an op-ed that always relates to something that we have shared in sheer. So I am continuing last week's topic, and I don't know if it's going to be one class or two classes, but it's just incredible. So we are going back to understanding that we find Hashem in nature. So I now quote from a different piece from Rabbi Soloveitchik, okay? The pasuk says at the end of Perek Chof Aleph in Sefer Bereishis, chapter 21, it's right before the Akedas Yitzchak. Akedas Yitzchak is Perek Chof Beis, Avraham Avinu's 10th and final test, according to some commentators. And right before that, we are told, Vayita Eshel Be'er Sheva, Avraham Avinu planted an Eshel in Be'er Sheva, Vayikra Shem B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam, and he called there in the name of Hashem, the God of the world. Talking about planting a tree, Kel Olam, the God of the world. It doesn't say Kel Hanistar, the God of the hidden. It doesn't say Kel Ha'avos, the God of the patriarchs. Kel Olam, Hashem is God of the world. So through this Eshel, through this tree, we can come to recognize Hashem as God of Olam, God of Teva, God of nature. So what does Rashi say there? First of all, what's an Eshel? Vayita Eshel, Aleph Shin Lamed. What did he plant in Be'er Sheva? So it's very, very famous. Chazal say it's an acronym. It stands for Achila, Shasiya, Leviya, or Lina. Okay? A difference of opinion. Achila, he gave his guests to eat. Shasiya, he gave his guests to drink. Leviya, he accompanied them when they finished. Or Lina, he gave them lodging, place to sleep. Rashi on the Chumash actually quotes a mechokas between Rav and Shmuel. One says it was a pundak l'orchim, an inn for guests, and one says it was a pardes lavi kol minei ma'achos. It was a orchard to bring all kinds of fruits, or it was a lodging, whichever opinion you go with, whether it was a lodging or an orchard, or it stands for achila shasiya levia. In all cases, Avram Avinu is taking care of the needs of his guests. He's giving them to eat, he's giving them a place to sleep, he's giving them lodging, he's accompanying them, he's giving them a drink. And Rashi says, on the Chumash, through this Eshel, he brought the name of God to the world. How through the Eshel did he bring the name of God to the world? So when the guests would finish eating, they would say, thank you very much. So Avraham Avinu, it says, Svurim mishali achaltem, you think you ate my food? You didn't eat my food, you ate from the food of the one who created the world. Bless Hashem. So through this mode of Kirov, Avraham would increase the name of God in the world. And the pasuk itself seems to be telling us that through the Eshel in Be'er Sheva, he made the name of God of the world, God of nature, known. And so Rabbi Soloveitchik says, this is actually from, anyone has it, every year I recommend them. It's Machzor Masoros HaRav, L'yamim No Ram. This is from Machzor Masoros HaRav Rosh Hashanah. It's the Art Scroll Machzor, the Art Scroll format, Art Scroll translation, but the commentary is from Rabbi Soloveitchik. So Rav Soloveitchik says as follows: why does the Torah bother to describe Avraham Avinu's planting a tree? Do you really need to know that Avraham planted a tree? Only what is relevant for generations forever was written in the Torah. What is not, a lot happened in Avraham's life till he was 75, but what do we know? What happened in his life till he was 75? I'm not talking about the Medrash, I'm not talking about the Rambam. What do you know from the Pshat of the Torah till he was 75? Almost nothing. He married someone named Yiska, his father started a journey, they got stuck in Charan, but something happened to him. What happened to Moshe Rabbeinu between the ages of 20 when he ran away to the age of 80? We don't know. We know very little. We know one thing from the end of those 60 years that he married Tzipora by the well. He met her by the well and he married Tzipora. Why does the Torah bother to tell us that Avram planted a tree? Moreover, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, how is proclaiming the name of Hashem, the God of the universe, Kel Olam, related to this activity? The Torah presents this detail because Avraham Avinu taught the world that through a tree, one could perceive Hashem. God himself controls the flowering and the growth of the tree, the falling and the withering of the leaves in the fall, the budding and the growth of the leaves in the spring. It's not an accident that through the tree, Avraham made known God, the God of the universe, the God of nature. Organic life is revealed through the tree, and thus through the tree, God is perceived as well. And this is some of what we were speaking about last week, some of what we were speaking about. Your t-shirts are matching almost, and I was wondering, Chaya, if we were going to be matching tonight. You almost wore this today?
Almost.
Okay, but I see it's your turn to be matching. Okay. Organic life is revealed through the tree, and thus through the tree, God is perceived as well. Avraham Avinu's greatness is based on the fact that he could understand this. Remember, Rabbi Dr. Tversky said that he had to fortify himself, as per the Stipler's Zatzal, not to be lost in science. But Rabbi Dr. Tversky said, Adarabba, not only did science and medicine not take him away from God, it brought him closer to the realization that there is a God. So Rav Soloveitchik says, organic life is revealed through the tree, and thus through the tree, God is perceived as well. Avraham Avinu's greatness is based on the fact that he could understand this, that he could understand that through the world and through nature, he could discern what others could not. And therefore, it's the last pasuk in Perech of Aleph, Vayita Esha Bebe'er Sheva. We already said the Medrash and we already said Rashi, Vayikrashem B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam, Pasha Psha, through the tree, he made known that there is a God who controls nature, that there is a God in the universe. You look at the tree, you see the organic process through the flowering and the growth of the tree, the falling and withering of the leaves. Organic life is revealed through the tree, and through the tree we see God. And now Rabbi Soloveitchik says, what does man truly understand of nature's secrets or of life's mysteries? This is not the piece we quoted last week, different. Obviously, it's connected. What does man truly understand of nature's secrets or of life's mysteries? Can man begin to grasp the sheer magnitude of the cosmic distance? We're not talking about from here to the moon. We're talking about galaxies beyond this galaxy. We're talking about from here to the sun and beyond. As much as we progress scientifically, we will never reveal the great mysteries of creation. I'm so excited to share this with you. I think it might have to be two parts, which is just a little disappointing because I really want to get to where I want to be, which is what the Dr. Kami Wilner shared with me, with us over Shabbos. But we have to do this first. Can man begin to grasp the sheer magnitude of cosmic distance? As much as we progress scientifically, we will never reveal the great mysteries of creation. Outside of the scientist's immediate environment, outside of his own limited understanding, lies the mystery of infinity. And this is what Avraham Avinu wanted to reveal to the world, that there is a Kel Olam, a God of the universe, a God of nature. And how do you find God of nature? You look at one tree and you see the God of nature. In our obtuse society, man cannot see the infinite, the creator. He cannot sense providence. He thinks all there is on earth is physics, chemistry, biology. And do you think that this knowledge is enough to understand the universe? So this is a little bit of what we said last week. This is from a different sefer. I told you this is from Machzor Masoros HaRav Rosh Hashanah. The problem of modern man lies not in his quest for knowledge, but in his conceit. He carries an air of arrogance. He considers himself an all-capable superman, not being able to admit, we quoted this last week, it was from a different sefer, that he knows little and understands less. But now, I'm bringing up the piece again, because in last week's piece, from that sefer, Chumash Masoros HaRav, Devarim, did not speak about the Ishal, which is fundamental in our understanding, because the tree is a natural process, it's a natural being, it's part of Teva. Through the tree you find God. And now, Rav Salvechik goes to when the three malachim came to visit Avraham Avinu. What does he say to the three malachim? Immediately when they came to the tent, Avram did not recognize them as angels. So there's Mechokas, the Rambam, and the Ramban. The Ramban says it actually happened, like it's written in the Chumash. It really happened. The Rambam says it was all a nevuah. Okay, but let's go with the Ramban. It actually happened. The Pshat is certainly that it actually happened. Vayisa eina, vayar vihine shlosh anashim nitzavim alav, vayar vayar tzekwaso, vayishtachul arza. And three strangers near his tent, Bereishis chapter 18, Avraham Avinu did not immediately recognize them as angels. What was the first request? Wash their feet. They should wash their feet. He thought they were nomads who worshipped the dust of their feet. He assumed these strangers were like so many of his unperceiving contemporaries who could not grasp the existence beyond what the hand could touch and what the eye could see. They seemed to be simple nomads who had no vision beyond their immediate surroundings, past the dust of their feet. So what does he say to them? Who remembers? Yukachna ma'amayim v'rachutu ragocham. What's the next word? Even in English. What?
He's going to feed them, right?
I can't hear.
He was going to feed them?
Before he's going to feed them. V'akach paslachem v'sa'adu libchem v'hishanu tachas ha'etz. Rest in the hammock, my own translation, under the tree. Lay down. Once again, what are we back to? A tree. Avraham Avinu asked him, it's very interesting because in this week's parasha, which is Parasha Shoftim, right in the beginning of the parasha, after the famous Tzadak Tirdof, we are prohibited, lo sita lecha kol asherah. We are prohibited from planting a tree that is used for idol worship. So the tree can, like we said last week, not that anyone need know, but arrogant doctors, either science can make you closer to Hashem, or science can draw you farther away from Hashem. Either a tree viewed through the lens of an Avraham Avinu can make you recognize your Ribono Shel Olam in nature, or a tree can be used as an Asherah tree, and it can take you away from Hashem. Avraham Avinu asked them to lie down under the tree. It's as if he was saying, lift your eyes, consider the organic process of growth, look at this tree and see the mystery of life. Focus beyond the treetop to the heavens, to the stars, to the galaxies, to the nebulae, towards the vast expanse of space. Even when you think of tzitzis, the techeles comes from the chilazon. And what do Chazal say famously? Why do we use the color of techeles? Techeles dome le yam, nature. Techeles, the turquoise blue, resembles the sea. Yam dome le rakia, the sea resembles the heavens. Rakia dome le kisa kavod. Once again, through using the dye of the chilazon, the techeles, this turquoise blue color, there's a techeles factory in Maale Adumim. When we were there 2 years ago, we tried to go, but our schedule was very full, and it just didn't work with the English time slots that they had with what we had. But isn't it interesting that through the tzitzis, you could find and see and recognize your bosom? In fact, tzitzis is from the word tzitz. What does tzitz mean? Okay, so the tzitz was one of the big day kohuna. It was the golden head plate, Kodesh Lashem. But what does tzitz also mean in Chavesh?
A knot.
What?
A knot. Knot.
What's she saying? Knot. Tzitz is a blossom. Vayigmo Shkedim from Bamidbar Perak Yitzayim, when Avraham Avinu's Aaron Cohen's staff blossomed after Mechilkas Korach, and they were all swallowed up. So all the staffs from every tribe were put in the Mishkan overnight, and Aaron's staff blossomed. Tzitz is a blossom. Shkedia Porachas, it's a blossom. Once again, through nature, you go find Hashem. So Rav Salvechik says, he was telling them, Hishanu tachas ha'etz, recline under the tree. Consider the organic process of growth, the mystery of life. And now focus beyond the treetop. When you see the tzitzis, it's not only to look at the tchei, the string with the white, the kachol v'lavan. It's also to see the yam, and then you remember the yam, and you remember the rakia, and you remember the rakia, and you remember, my gosh, there's a kisei akavod. Look at the stars, the galaxies, the nebula. Nebulae? Towards the vast expanse of space. It is not absurd to assert that your constrained world is all that exists, but please wash your feet. Gain a different conception of your environment. Avraham Avinu planted the Eshel tree. He told his guests to recline under the tree. From under that tree, he was able to proclaim the name of Hashem. Which name of Hashem? Kel Olam, the God of the universe, the God of nature, not merely the God of the tree. Not merely the God of our immediate surroundings, but the vast universe. Man's purpose in general, and the Jew's purpose in particular, is to see the God of the universe through the leaves of the Eshel. So when it comes to nature, these proofs that we have been just given, that we have given the tzitzis, the Eshel, the Eitz, It comes to teach us that we have to recognize Ribbono Shel Olam through nature. So that is Nakuda number one. Yes? Yes? Okay. Nakuda number two. We're building our shir. Nakuda number two. With what was the world created? What was nature created with?
With Hashem's word.
Oh, speech. That's exactly right. The Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, Pirkei Mishnah Av, we just read Pirkei La Shabbos, this past Shabbos, this week is coming Pirkei Av, but Asara Ma'amaros Nivra Ha'olam. The world was created with Hashem's speech, with Hashem's word, with 10 declarations, the world was created. Umatam, Lomar, and what is the Torah coming to teach you? Vahalo B'mamar Echad Yachal Lihibaros. God couldn't create the world in one thing. Instead of saying Vayihi Or, Vayihi Rakia, couldn't he just say that there be a world? There would have been a whole world. It was created in 10 increments of speech. What does the Torah mean? God could have created the world with one statement. He could have created the world with not speech at all. Hashem could have just created the world without Vayomer El Kimihi Ar. Didn't have to be Vayomer, but God chose to create the world through word. Ela lehi para min harishayim shema'abdin esolam b'shenivra basar marmos. Why did Hashem create it through 10 stages or 10 declarations of speech? I just thought of something else. Even the Aseres HaDibros, I didn't think of when I was preparing, but it's incorrectly translated. We say that the Aseres HaDibros are the 10 commandments. That's totally the wrong translation. That would be Aseres HaMitzvos. What is Aseres HaDibros?
10 utterances
or 10 declarations. Once again, you see the creation of Knesset Yisrael by Matan Torah through speech. To say that we're still going to call it the Ten Commandments because that's just easy and that's what everyone calls it, but that's not really true. Asaras HaDibros is not 10 mitzvos, 10 commands. It's 10 declarations, 10 utterances, 10 levels of speech.
Speech is such a fundamental part of Jewish life.
Okay. Yeah.
And there's so much Chaim Heritage Foundation begs everyone, learn the halachos. There are challenges every minute of your day. And still, it's such a challenge.
Okay, so I want everyone to hold their comments because we're going to go much more in-depth as to what it means that God created the world through speech. But I'll just tell you, one Nakuda, based on what you're saying, or if Salvechik's going to say it soon, I'm going to quote another piece from the Rav, from a third Sefer. I also quoted from Chumash Masoros HaRav Devarim. We just quoted from the Machzor Masoros HaRav Rosh Hashanah. I'm about to quote from a Sefer called Abram's Journey. Three different places, three different teachings, three different pieces. But I will tell you that the Chavetz Chaim says, I've said this many times, in his Pesicha to his Sefer, Kuntras Chovetz Hashmira, the compilation of Chovetz HaShmir, the obligation to watch your speech, Klal HaDvarim, this is in the Psicha, before you even start learning the Sefer, the summation of the matter is, B'diburov Shel Adam, Yachol Livroa Olamot Lachariven. Through the sum of the matter is, through words, man can create worlds, and through words, man can destroy worlds. It's a tongue twister, because you have to do words and worlds in the same sentence. But hold your questions and comments. So let's go back to the Mishnah. The focus of our Mishnah, but I'm just going to go through it, is with 10 declarations or 10 ma'amaros, 10 statements, the world was created. Why? Couldn't God just create it out of nothing? Yes. Couldn't he just create it with one declaration? Yes. Ela lehi para min harishayim shema'abdin esolam shenivra basar ma'amaros, to make the wicked accountable for destroying a world that was created with 10 utterances. And perhaps you could say someone who speaks Lashon Hara is a Rasha who ultimately destroys the world that was created with world. We just quoted the world that was created with word, as we just quoted the Chafetz Chaim, and litein schar tov letzadikim, to give good merit, good reward to the righteous, shemekayimin es ha'olam, who uphold the world, shenivra basar ma'amaros. So just like God created the world with speech, he wants to give schar, reward, to those who uphold the world with speech. We could call them tzadikim. It means a compliment. It means a kind word. It means a bracha uttered with kavana. It means benching said properly. It means a tefillah where you really had concentration on modim anachnu lach. On the other hand, it means lashon nikia instead of nivol peh. On the other hand, the Mishnah says, those who destroy the world with utterances, God wants to take what is due from them. Rabbeinu Yonah says on the Mishnah, spent a large portion of this afternoon preparing this year, there's a comment, I really don't want comments. What is spark? What did I say is spark? I don't know. Someone's translating what I said. Forget it, Malki Sultan? Okay. So, Rabbeinu, please hold your comments because they do shock me, and I really want to try and get through as much material as I can tonight. Okay? I have a personal one-to-one session Wednesday afternoons. So usually it's in person. Some is in person. It was on FaceTime. And finally the person said to me, "You're talking too fast. Could you please slow down?" So I said to her that my mother, she should live and be well, always says, "Michal, you're talking too fast. Slow down." So I explained to her that when I get very excited, I'm learning with this person for 7 years already. When I get excited, I start to talk fast because I want to fit it all in. Okay. Rabbeinu Yonah says on the Mishnah, Ba'asara ma'amaros nivra ha'olam, with 10 declarations or statements or speech, the world was created. What does that mean? From the word bereshis, mi bereshis, as in bereshis, bar lakim, esa shemayim ve'esa arts, va'ad vayechulu. Where's Vayechulu? Perek Beis. Pesukim Aleph through Dalet are what we recite on Shabbos. Vayechulu Hashemayim v'aretz v'chatz v'am v'yechalikim b'yam mishu ma'achto asher asa. Go look it up. Bereishis chapter 2 verses 1 through 4. Okay, so from Bereishis 1:1 through Bereishis 2:5-2:4, when we have Shabbos being created, we have 10 declarations by which God created the world. So we see that the process of the whole Maisa Bereishis creation happened through word. So mi Bereishis, says Rabbeinu Yonah, ba'ad vayechulu, and tu vayechulu, and he finished creating. Tisha pa'amim vayomar, it says 9 times vayomar lokim. Bereishis nami amar, and Bereishis is one of the statements of speech that God created. So the first thing Hashem said was Bereishis. This itself was a declaration of speech, and this created the world. Hu shenemar, like the pasuk says in Tehillim, bidvar Hashem shamayim naasu. Dvar Hashem, with the word of Hashem, shamayim naasu, the heavens were made. She'i efshar shenivu shamayim ve'arts ala b'ma'amar. It is impossible to say that the heavens and the earth were created with something else. What were they created with? Ma'amar. Yeah? So if you look through the Chumash from the word Bereishis through Vayechulu, Hashem finished creating, Vayechulu Hashemayim v'aretz v'chatz v'am, God finished creating the heavens and the earth and all of their hosts. There are 9 statements of Vayomar. Vayomar Elokim Yehi Rakia. Vayomar Elokim Yehi Ma'oros Bashamayim. Vayomar Elokim Yehi Ar. I ran out of order. 9 Ma'amaros of Vayomar. 1 Ma'amar of Bereishis. These are the 10 utterances of speech through which God created the world. I'll now repeat Rabbeinu Yonah without interrupting or translating because I already did it. Mi Bereishis Va'ad Vayechulu. Kasuv Tisha Pa'amim Vayomar. And he spoke. Bereishis nami ma'amar. Bereishis, I said I'm not going to translate, bleed neither. Bereishis is another ma'amar, like the pasuk says in Tehillim, Kapitol Lamed Gimel, bidvar Hashem, with the word of God, shamayim nasu. That's how the heavens were made. She'i efshar, this is crucial for our shir. She'i efshar shenivru shamayim v'arts al b'ma'amar. It is impossible to say the world was created with anything else except for speech. The Gra, the Vilna Gaon, 1700s, the Vilna Gaon in his commentary on the Mishnah counts each of the 10 statements. Basamar Ma'amaros, we're still in the Mishnah, Perek Hey, Mishnah Aleph, with 10 statements or 10 declarations. Ve'eluhem, he counts them. So Bereishis is 1. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or is 2. God said, let there be light, there is light. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Rekia, there should be a firmament, there is a firmament. Vayomer Elokim Yekavu Hamayim, the water should gather into one place. Vayomer Elokim Tidashe Arts Desha, let the earth sprout grass. Yehi Ma'oros, there should be luminaries in the firmament of the heaven. Yishratzu Hamayim, God said, let the earth teem with life. Totsi Haaretz, God said, let the earth give forth life. Nase Adam, God said, let us create man. Hinei Nasati, God said, behold, I have given. Pru Urvu, Hutsivui, Pru Urvu, be fruitful and multiply, was a command, a statement, Ubracha, and a blessing. Okay, so what was the world created with? Speech, undeniably, undoubtedly, you said it first. The Mishnah really teaches it to us. We saw Rabbeinu Yonah, we saw the Gra. We already began by quoting a piece by Rav Soloveitchik, which seems to be unrelated, but it really is very much related, that through the Eshal, you find Kel Olam, not Kel Yisrael, not Shakai, not Elohim, Kel Olam. If you pay attention to the Eshal, who do you find? Capital W? Hashem. Why did he tell them, Hishanu tachas ha'etz? You're idol worshippers. You only see the dust of your feet. Lay down and look beyond. Look into the cosmos. See God who controls this whole universe. Now we've established the world was created through speech. Good? Are we okay? Yes? Everyone on Zoom, you're okay? Okay. Now I got another piece, Berev Soloveitchik. This is from a sefer called Abram's Journey, where he talks about the fact that God created the world through word. Rav Soloveitchik says, Judaism believes that words per se are the most powerful, listen carefully, because of what you said. And I asked everyone to hold their comments, because I'm going to be addressing your comments and your thoughts, I believe. If at the end of everything I have it, then you could ask questions. But I have to get through all the material first. Judaism believes that words per se are the most powerful weapon God has provided man. Judaism believes, I'm repeating it on purpose, that words per se are the most powerful weapon that God has provided man. Judaism believes in the power of the mind and the majesty of the word. The power of the mind is only expressed through the majesty of word. Why can't you think this is a great apple? Now you eat it. You have to bring that thought, thank you Hashem for creating the fruit of the tree, to fruition. How do you bring it to fruition? Not by looking at the apple, not by thinking about the apple, not by cutting the apple. What do you have to do? You have to declare with words before you eat the apple, and that's permission. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, Lamed Hey, that one who eats without making a bracha is like someone who is taking from the Hekdesh of the Beis Hamikdash. You're like stealing. But you could think it's a great apple. You could think Hashem is the creator of the Olam. You have to declare it. You have to say it. Through the word, God created the world. We have established that. God did not need words to create the world. But he chose the word as an instrument of creation. Hashem could have created the world however he wanted, in order to teach us that we can, quote, create the world through word, and we can destroy the world through word. Again, this is the Chafetz Chaim. I'm quoting this piece from Rav Soloveitchik, but the Chafetz Chaim writes this beferish. So go back to Radin in the end of the 1800s. Klal hadvarim b'dibu rav shal adam yachol livroa olamot ula hachariven. The word can be the most creative power in man's hand. It can also be the most destructive power given to man. That is why Judaism, quote, is almost merciless with regard to Lashon Hara, I'm quoting. By the way, think of the fact that you begin the whole Day of Atonement talking about vows, speech that you may have made this year that you haven't kept. The whole Day of Atonement begins with that, talking about my words. Kol nidrei ve'esarei v'kinuyei v'chamarmei. This is why Judaism is almost merciless with regard to Lashon Hara, evil speech, and why you take so seriously the issues of perjury, vows, and oaths. I know, I would think there's much holier things to talk about as Yom Kippurim is beginning. Apparently not, because God created the world through word. Not because he needed to, because he wants to
teach us a lesson.
In Judaism, the word is the mark of one's identity as a human being, in contradistinction to the beast or the brute of the field. In medieval Hebrew, what was a man called in medieval Hebrew? A medaber. A man, what is it?
Medieval.
Medieval? I said it wrong? Okay, I never knew that. Medieval? Medieval? Okay, fine, thank you. What?
That one might be a Canadian thing.
Maybe. In Canada, we said capillary. This isn't a mistake.
Really?
I did well in science, capillary. And then my kids thought that it was like a little nuts, and they say it's capillary. I said, well, I'm not making this up. This is what we called it, okay? Okay, so I don't know if it's Canadian or mispronunciation, but in medieval? Hebrew. The name for man is medaber. Man is known as a speaker. Judaism believes, says the Rav, in the potency of the word. It is not just a sound. It is not just phonetics. It's a reflection of what's in your mind, right? It's not just saying a word. It has a mystical quality to it. It has a quality of creation. When you speak, you're emulating God. God created the world through word. We've established this. Hence, man's awareness of God must be objectified in the word. That's why you have to make a bracha. Why can't I just think that this is a great apple and God created the world? That's a beautiful rainbow and Hashem made a rainbow and he's holding back his wrath. Did you see there was thunder and lightning last night? So just think, Hashem is very powerful. Why do I have to utter words? Shakochu v'raso male olam. Why? Because you need to bring the thoughts to fruition and make them alive, and they only become a real being with speech. The world was not just a thought of God, a machshava of God. Through word, Hashem brought the whole world to fruition. pun intended, fruition. And therefore, says the Rav, we open our mouth in holiness, purity, song and hymn, bless, praise, glorify, revere, sanctify, and declare the kingship of God. So tonight's year began with the Eshal that Avram Avinu planted. Through that Eshal, we quoted Rashi, we quoted the Gemara, we quoted Rav Soloveitchik. Through the Eshal, he brought awareness of Kel Olam, the God of the universe, the God of nature. Similarly, Rav Soloveitchik brings us a similar lesson when Avram Avinu welcomed the angels. Excuse me, Bereishis Perek Ches, he told them, recline under the tree. He didn't just say, have a seat. Hish'anu tachas ha'et, look up at the heavens and find God in nature. Then we put that aside for a minute, and we went to proving through the sources of Chazal that Hashem created the world through word. We saw the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, we quoted Rabbeinu Yonah, and the Gra, and we quoted Soloveitchik. Is everyone with me? I don't want any side comments. Was everything clear? I'm trying to make it very clear and explain and review so we're all on the same page. Further proof that Hashem created the world through word. Yes? When Hashem created Isha, I deliberately do not call her Chava. She's not called Chava to the end of Perek Gimel. She is called Isha the whole time, even though she's, I think it's a mistake to call her Chava from her time of her creation at the end of Perek Vayis through the whole story of the Nacha. She is not Chava. She is Isha. It's very significant that he names her Chava after the sin, okay? So we should be careful. Anyway, Adam, everyone has an Ezer Kenegdo. And Adam's very lonely. All the animals have mates, and Adam does not have a mate. Strange medrash. Adam had relations with all the animals. He didn't find, Rashi quotes on the Chumash, he didn't find a partner, and he felt very lonely. So Hashem put him into a deep sleep. Vatapel terdema al Adam vayishan. He went into a deep sleep and he slept. And Hashem took achas mitzalotzav. Vayiskar basar techtena. Hashem opened him up. He did some kind of operation. He took from his side bone, his rib cage, whatever exactly you want to call it, he closes the flesh, and Adam wakes up, and who's there? A beautiful woman. Vayomer Adam, zod hapam etzamei atzamei, ubasar mibsari, zo yikare isha, al kein ya'azov ish, es aviv ve'esimo, v'davak b'ishto, v'hayu lebasar echad, v'hayu shneim arumim, Adam v'ishto, v'lo yisposhushu. Ah, hanachash haye arum, mikol chayis osadar, sharasal shamalkim, now we're in Pergamum. Vayomer Adam, zos hapam etzamei atzamai. Adam says, this time, it's, in other words, the animals didn't work for me. I don't exactly understand the medrash. I certainly don't want to get into it. That's not the point of the shiur. Adam said, this time, meaning with Isha, she's not even called Isha yet, she's bone from my bone. Etzem is bone, but it's also the word atzma'ut of the matter, is the essence of a matter. Chazal of a term, the Rambam speaks about it in Hilchus Teshuvah, itzumo shel yom mechaper. What does that mean? The essence of the day is atome. So when you talk about the atzma'ut of a person, when you talk about your bones, think about the beauty of Lashon HaKodesh. The atzma'ut of a davar is the heart of the matter, the kishkas of the matter. Etzem is bone. So Adam says, this time she's bone from my bone, basar mibsari, flesh from my flesh. Lizo yikare, I said it before, lizo yikare Isha, she will be called Isha. Why is she called Isha? The Torah gives us a reason. Ki mi ish lukachazos, she has been taken from man. So if you note, the words ish and Isha are very, very similar. Ish, Isha. I know, chazal, ish, beinehem, okay, shechina beinehem. If not, ish, achosam, it's not the point. Ki mi ish lukachazos, she was taken from ish, so she is called Isha. So what does Rashi say? Go look it up. It's Bereishis Perek Beis Pasuch of Gimel. What does Rashi say? Ah, lizo yikare Isha. For this reason, she is called a woman. Lashon nofel al lashon. Mikan she nivra ha'olam b'lashon hakodesh. Ah, listen again. Only one person is smiling. That means either you didn't get it or you're not listening. Lashon nofel al lashon. Abigail is smiling. Lashon nofel al lashon. Mikan shenivra olam b'lashon hakodesh. Ah, why is she called Isha? It's a language or a term that falls upon another term. So Isha is very closely related to Ish. Generic term for woman is closely related to the generic term for man. Al-Kain. Ki mi ish lukachazo. The Torah tells you why she's called Isha. She's called Isha because she was taken from man. It's not just a play on words. Rashi comes and tells you that the world is created in Lashon HaKodesh. So now we have an added dimension. Not only was the world created through speech, but what kind of speech was the world created with? Lashon HaKodesh. We would translate that literally as holy tongue. So now it's starting to get very exciting. It's very exciting. You should have all brought a pen and paper, but you could just listen. So we've established that we can find God through nature. We started that last week. We continued this week through the Esha and the Eights of Avraham Avinu. We went to the Mishnah that says clearly the world was created with Ma'amar, Rabbeinu Yona, the Gra of Salvichek, the power of words to create or to destroy. And then we saw even further that the world was not just created with words, the world was created with Lashon HaKodesh, which translates as holy tongue. So that doesn't mean Ivrit. It means Lashon HaTorah. What does it mean that the world was created with Lashon HaKodesh? Now we're coming to start to go back to the thesis, which is that Hashem can be found through nature. Does it just mean God uttered Yihi Or and there was light? Does it just mean Tidashe Ha'aretz Desha, the grass, the ground should sprout herbage and there was herbage? Or does it mean that Lashon HaKodesh itself is the very essence of the creation? So the first psukim of Bereishis are as follows. Bereishis bar lakim esa shemayim v'esa aretz. If you recall, both Rabbeinu Yonah and the Gra say that Bereishis is the first term of speech that created. Okay? God uttered Bereishis. You have to understand, we don't really understand Maisa Bereishis, okay? We have to know that when we talk about Maisa Bereishis. It's the most esoteric part of Torah. We don't understand Maisa Bereishis. But God made a statement Bereishis and he started to create. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. What was there before creation? V'ha'aretz ha'yisa, this is Pasuk Beis, tohu v'vohu, v'choshech al p'nei tohom, v'ruach Elohim r'chafas al p'nei mayim. The world was chaos, primordial darkness. There was nothing except the Spirit of God hovering over the surface of the water. What's Pasuk Gima? What's the first word of Pasuk Gima? V'yomer Elohim yihi or, v'yihi or, v'yar Elohim esar kitov. It relates to Yom Kippur. Yom Echad is a beautiful medrash. The Yom Echad is Yom Kippurim. Okay, a different time. It also relates to Chanukah. The 25th word in Torah is Or. Count the words. I just said them. 25th word in Torah is Or. That's your allusion to Chanukah in the Torah. Okay, but forget all that for purposes of our shir. What does it mean that the world was created through Lashon HaKodesh? I only have 7 minutes. It's going to have to be at least 1.5 parts. What does the word mean that the world was created with Lashon HaKodesh? So we spent Shabbos with my father-in-law's first cousin, who they've been close their entire lives, my husband's grandmother, so my father-in-law's mother, and Dr. Kalm Wilner's father were brother and sister. And you know, some families are close, some families are not close. My father-in-law has always been very, very close to this cousin and his children. So we went there for Shabbos, very last minute, and Kalmi was there, Dr. Wilner. He is from Petach Tikva. He is a physicist who is a professor at the Technion in Israel. His daughter's a math teacher. Her husband's a kol avrich. She teaches, she said, through 7th through 12th grades, math. The other son is a physicist. So, okay, so when he starts that, then he says he's going to give a Dvar Torah math. I'm like, whoa, okay, this is, we're good in English language arts. I'm not going to understand anything. But Baruch Hashem, I did. So he was there with two of his daughters and one granddaughter. We had a beautiful Shabbos, and Ashal Shulis, he starts to tell over these things. Oh, so my husband called him tonight to find out, I want to know exactly where he teaches. He's like, don't quote me. I said, well, call me. They're not going to think I came up with this on my own. So call him Omer Dover B'Shem Omer. Omer Dover B'Shem Omer. Maybe that's why you're Mevigu Ulal Olam. You're creating a new reality with speech when you give credit to the one who said Omer Davar B'Shem Omer. You're creating a new reality, a reality of Mashiach. Okay, what does it mean that the world is created with Lashon HaKodesh? It's not just Stam God spoke Hebrew and created this world. It's that the utterance of Lashon HaKodesh is the creation. Here we go. You could go look up. I Googled it when I was preparing Shira because I wanted to make sure that even though I believe him, he's in his 7th decade of life and his father was in the Mossad. He's very, you know, he's a physicist and a professor. His sons-in-law are Kol Avrechim, but very brilliant individual, obviously. I wanted to just make sure that what I'm telling you, you know, the average number of days a woman is pregnant is 271. Don't calculate 40 weeks because average number of days. It's like 38 and something weeks. It's 271. How do you say pregnancy in Lashon HaKodesh? Herayon. Hey, Reish, Vav, Yud, Nun. The gematria of Herayon is 271. Work it out. Reish is 200. Nun is 50. That's 250. Hey is another 5. That's 255. Yud, and another 265. And 6 for the Vav is 271. Herayon is 271 in gematria. The average number of days a woman is pregnant is 271. Okay, next. How do you say trunk? We are talking about Eshel and Eitz. I didn't know how you say trunk. Does anyone know how you say trunk of a tree in Hebrew? Geza. I didn't know that. Gimel, Zayin, Ayin. I happened to look it up on Google Translate. Geza is a trunk. It ends with an Ayin. The trunk of the tree gives birth to the leaves. Anaf begins with an Ayin. Geza is a trunk. It ends with an Ayin. Leaves is anaf. It begins with an ayin. Anaf ends with a pei. Peiros and prachim begin with a pei. Okay? So a woman is pregnant on average for 271 days. The gematria of Herayon is 271. You could all work that. It doesn't mean Hashem spoke the words. It means the utterance of God in Lashon HaKodesh created this entity. Herayon is 271. The average number of days a woman is pregnant is 271 days. Look at a tree. And this is fascinating because I brought you the piece of the Rav where he's specifically talking about finding God through a tree. Geza's a trunk. It's true. Look it up on Google Translate. Geza ends with an ayin. The next part of the tree is the anaf, the leaves which begin with an ayin. Anaf ends with a pei sofis. Pei is the first letter of peiros or prachim. What does the tree produce? Fruits or flowers? Anaf. What? Pay. Okay. Another example. Av ben Neched. Generations. Av ends with an aleph and ends with begins with an av and ends with a bez. Bet. Ben begins with a bet and ends with a nun. Neched begins with a nun. Father, son, grandson. By the way, and I told them this, I heard that that's why you put an evan on a metzeva. Because evan stands for av ben Neched. You show continuity after the person is not here anymore. Shaleg. The gematria of Shaleg is 333. Shin is 300. Lamed is 30. Gimel is 3. Why? Because precipitation occurs in three forms. Solid, like snow. Wet, when it melts, or like rain. And gas, evaporation or condensation. Shaleg is 333. There are three forms in which this liquid can occur. Solid, snow. Liquid, rain, or melting, and evaporation or condensation. Dam is blood. Dam is 44. That's an easy gematria. Dalet is 4. Mem is 40. And it starts with a dalet, which is 4. Dam is 44 because there are four blood types. There's A, B, O, and AB. Bechor, the gematria of Bechor is 222. Resh is 200. Bet is 2. Chaf is 20 because the Bechor gets?
Double.
Pishnayim.
Pishnayim.
So, in other words, it's not that the world was created because Hashem said, Vayom Elkim Yehi Or. The utterance of God in Lashon HaKodesh is found throughout nature. It's not that through nature you see Hashem. Nature is the creation itself. Average number of days a woman with pregnant, 271. Gematria of Herayon, 271. Geza, Anaf, Peirots or Prachim. Geza ends with Ayin. Anaf begins with Ayin and ends with Pei. Pei is Prachim, Perach. Av ben Neched. Av ends with a Bet. Ben begins with a Bet and ends with a Nod, Neched. Shaleg is 333. There are three forms in which precipitation can occur. Dam is 44. There are four blood types. Bechor, Bat, Chof, Resh, without the Vav. Okay, Re'en Chaser, no. 222, the Bechor gets Pishnayim. What's the gematria of Aleph? Aleph, Lamed, Pei is 111. The gematria of Aleph is 111. Pei is 80. Lamed is 30. Aleph is 1. Because Aleph is the first letter. The gematria of Aleph written out is 111. Aleph is the first letter. The average number of days in the lunar year. I'm almost Googled it. The average number of days in the lunar year, the Jewish calendar year, is 354.4. What's the gematria of the word Shana? 355. Shin is Nun. Shin is 300, Nun is 50, He is 5. Listen again. The average number of days in the lunar year, Jewish calendar year is 354.4. The gematria of Shana is 355. A water molecule, mayim, mem yud mem, okay? That's what I said to hold all your comments and your questions. A water molecule is mem yud mem. What is a water molecule made of? The same structure, a hydrogen atom, an oxygen atom, a hydrogen. It follows the pattern of mem, yud, mem, hydrogen, oxygen, hydrogen. I'm going a little over because I don't want to just stop. The next one I'm going to not continue, but this one I'm going to continue. I only have a couple more for tonight. But the point is how incredible, you know, I'm fascinated with Shorashim and Lashon HaKodesh. I'm absolutely fascinated. The word for clothing, beged, is the word bogade, treason. Beged is bogade. Why? Because when did Adam and Isha need clothing? Only after their treason, their trespass against Hashem. Vayas Hashem Elokim LaAdam Ishto Kosnos Or Vayal Bishem. After the sin, the Gemara says there are eight words describing how God clothed Adam and Isha. That's why the Kohen Gadol is eight begadim. It's an atonement for sin. Baget is bogate. Siach is speech and tefillah. There's reasons why. Eliphaz, who stole all of Yaakov's money so he could say to his father that he killed Yaakov, is Elipaz, my God is gold. That one I heard from Rabbi Zev Lev. Paz is gold is in Kapitel Yates of Tehillim. Pinchas, who killed Zimri and Cosby, teaches us Penchas. You should be merciful, but sometimes lest you be merciful. Mehodu va'ad Kush. Hod, the Gemara says, is glory, and Kush is black, because Galus begins with great glory and ends with great darkness. There's tremendous significance to words in Lashon HaKodesh. But what does it mean that the world was created with Lashon HaKodesh? It doesn't mean Hashem said and it came into being. The word itself is the creation of that natural matter. So when God declared at some point in creation, Herayon, because Herayon is the Gematria 271, it determines a woman will be pregnant for 271 days on average. When Hashem created the Geza and it ends with the letter Ayin in Lashon HaKodesh, that gives birth to the Anaf, and the Anaf gives birth to the Peros or the Prachib. Shalag is not just randomly 333. It can't just be by accident 333. It equals three increments of three because precipitation occurs in a solid, liquid, and gas form. Dam is 44. Why? Because there, and it starts with a dal, which is four, because there are four blood types. Aleph is Aleph, Lamed, Pei, 111, because Aleph is the first letter. Shana is 355, and the average number of days in the Jewish calendar year, lunar, is 354.4. Water molecule, we just said. Okay, one more. Bereshis bar Elokim Esa Shemayim v'Esa Aretz. Does anyone here good at math? Are you good? Is anyone here good at math? Is anyone in Zoom math? Okay. So the pi number, pi. Who's saying yes? Pi. Okay. So I'm going to ask you, why is pi? Who said they're good at math? Abigail? So why is pi such an important number? Why, this is not a trick question. Why is pi the most like fundamental important number? It's not a trick.
For a circle, right? You need it for a circle.
I think because it's infinite, right? It keeps going.
Okay, so I looked it up online. Why is pi so important? In basic mathematics, so listen. In basic mathematics, pi is used to find area and circumference of a circle. However, you don't realize this about pi. Pi is used in most calculations for building and construction, quantum physics, communication, music theory, medical procedures, air travel, and space flight, just to name a few. So Kami said, pi is one of the most important numbers. It's the foundation of everything. Listen again. You might not realize it or use it yourself every day, but forget the circumference of a circle. Pi is used in most calculations for building and construction, for quantum physics, communication, music theory, medical procedures, air travel, and space flight, just to name a few. Bereshis bara Elokim Esa Shemayim v'Esa Aretz. Bereshis bara Elokim Esa Shemayim v'Esa Aretz. How many words are there in that pasuk? Seven. If you take the Rosh Tevos of those seven words, Bereshis is base, bara is base, Elokim is aleph, es is aleph, Hashemayim is hey, ve, es is vav, and hey is aretz. The gematria of those Rosh Tevos is 22. It's very easy. Bays is two, that's four. Aleph is one, that's five. Another Aleph is six. Hey is 17. 17 plus six, what's 17 plus six? 21. Yeah? No, I mixed up the math. Bays is two is four. I told you I'm not good at math. Four. Aleph is one, five. Another Aleph is one, six. Another hey is 11. You don't have 11 fingers. 11. 11 plus 6 for the vav is 17. And 17 plus 5 is, for the hey, 22. We just did it. The Rosh Tevos of the first, it is, it works. We just did it with Joanna's 10 digits that multiply to 22. Bereshis bara Elokim Meisah Shamayim Ve'aretz is 7 words. This is the foundation of Torah. It's the first pasuk in Torah. It's the first declaration of God, says Rabbeinu Yonah in the Gra. Bereshis. 22 is the gematria of the Rosh Tevos. If you divide 22 by 7,
3.14.
You get pi.
Lucky guy.
Pi is the most perfect, fundamental, and foundational number that is responsible for building and construction. The whole world was built through pi. So, last week we saw that Rabbi Dr. Tversky said, not only did nature and science and medicine not take him away from the belief in the Ribbono Shel Olam, but if anything, it drastically increased belief in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Pi is used in most calculations for building and construction, quantum physics, communication, music theory, medical procedure, air travel, and space flight, just to name a few. Bereshis bara Elokim Meisah Shamayim Ve'aretz, 7 words. The gematria of the Rosh Tevos is 22. 22 divided by 7 is 3.14, which equals pi. So when we say that Hashem created the world through Lashon HaKodesh, it doesn't mean that he spoke and created entities. The very essence of those entities is reflected in what we call the Holy Tongue. And so Lashon HaKodesh is like no other language, and it is found throughout creation, and is the godless of Lashon HaKodesh that the Ribbono Shel Olam used to create words. So when you say a woman is pregnant on average for 271 days, why is she pregnant on average for 271 days? Because Herayon is 271. So it was determined in nature that the average gestation has to be 271 because Herayon is 271. And when you say that water is in a pattern of 1, 2, 1, it has to be because Mayim is Mem, Yud, Mem. And when you say that water occurs in three forms, solid, liquid, gas, it's not because it occurs in three forms. It's because the word Shaleg is 333. And when you say Dam starts with a Dal, which is 4, and it's 44. There's not 4 blood types because that's how Hashem created nature. There's 4 blood types because Hashem uttered the word Dam is blood. And Dam is 44. And Dam is A, B, O, or A, B. And the tree is not just a tree that God created. Geza's the trunk. It gives birth with the ayin to the anaf, which gives birth with the pei to the peiros and the prachim. The Ribbono Shel Olam created this entire universe. Vayita eshal bebe'er shava. Through the eshal, vayikrosham b'shem Hashem kel olam. God of the universe, God of maise bereshis, God of nature is revealed through contemplating what a simple tree means. So it's not that Hashem said Herayon, and it happens to be a woman is pregnant for 271 days. The utterance itself is the creation of nature. Kami told me he could go on and on. Aleph, Gematria, 111. Why? Because Aleph is the first letter. Bechor, 222, because the Bechor gets P, Shnaya. So like Rashi tells us, why is she called Isha? Lashon nofel alashon, mikan shenivra haolam, b'lashon hakodesh. Through the holy tongue, the whole world was created. It is the utterance of God in lashon hakodesh that gives the matter its very existence. So Kami made sure that I have to say that it's not from him. In fact, he said that there's a professor who's not even what we call dati, who works on finding God in nature. Because remember the physicist, the scientist, no. The fertility doctor, I'm so excited, I can't even say the right words. The fertility doctor who said to Rabbi Dr. Tversky, he wasn't Jewish. He said, when I looked at that fertilized ovum, I said to myself, there can't not be a God. So Be'ezrat Hashem, Hashem should continue to open our eyes. We can continue to see the greatness, the grandeur, the godless, the absolute divinity and infinity of Kol HaTorah Kulo, and come to recognize the Ribbono Shel Olam in something as mundane as the bark, leaves, and fruit of a tree, Mikan shenivra ha'olam belashon hakodesh. I wish, thank you. Oh, yeah, I went 10 minutes over. I'm so sorry. Oh my gosh. I didn't even realize, and I didn't say the whole shir. Have a wonderful night of Besuros Tovos and a wonderful week. Thank you so much. Absolutely fascinating. Let me just say, yes, fascinating. Baruch Hashem. Thank you so much, everybody. Kol Tov. Have a good Shabbos.